Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
About a half hour left to go on the program before we hand things over to our guy, Chris Russell. He joins you next. Right now, we go back out to the guest hotline where we find one of my absolute favorites talking all things X's and O's with the National Football League, our guy, Ted Wynn. You can follow him on the old X app at FB_film analysis, one of the absolute best for The Athletic, talking all things NFL in college. Ted, what's going on, my brother? How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Big, big fan of your work. There are a couple of Washington-specific questions we wanted to chime in on you with, someone that, you know, grinds the tape the way that you do. A big issue for this team last year was their inability to stop the run on a consistent basis. It's part of the reason we saw the move made that just happened about 20 minutes ago. They part ways with John Allen. When you look at Washington's defense, from what you've been able to gather and see, what would you describe as like the major Achilles heel of their run defense? I know it's hard when you get gashed the way that they do to try and pinpoint one thing, but what would you really point at and say, yeah, they've got to fix that?
Well, I think they play a single gap defense under Dan Quinn. So when you're playing a single gap defense, you really need to be dominant across the board. Defensive line, you have to be disruptive. You have to be able to get some tackles for losses. You have to be able to get into the backfield. And to do that, you need guys that are talented. And I think they just didn't have the talent, especially around the edges last year, with Dante Fowler. And you just need some upgrades to that spot, which is why it makes sense that they have some interest in Trey Hendrickson. Yeah. Because if you don't have the talent outside and you're rushing up field, you're just going to give up the outside. I thought they were very susceptible to outside runs, and we saw that Saquon Barkley's first carry in the NFC Championship game where he took it outside. And I just didn't think they're very good at tackling once teams got to the second and third level. So I think the first thing you have to do is you really need to improve the talent on the edges, get some guys that can disrupt. And then you just have to be better at tackling in the secondary, and that comes with training and getting the attitude on in the secondary.
So I want to follow up on that because I think it's interesting. We saw this with Dallas's defense while DQ was there, but their issue seemed to be up the middle on the interior. Mm-hmm. With Washington, I'm glad that you pointed out to our listening audience that they are a one-gap defense. I always say my old adage is that the play doesn't care who makes it. I think we saw that a lot last year with Washington as well, guys not maintaining the gap integrity, trying to chase the football. Do you look at it as a potential like scheme issue? Does Washington have the type of defensive tackles that would thrive in Dan Quinn's system? Because I still feel like they're missing that space eater in the middle that can eat double teams and keep the linebackers clean.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, for this type of defense, they're not going to get that big two-gapping type of defender inside, but they need disruptors inside. They need guys that can just, you know, get past a guard in the B-gap and then make that running back have to cut or make a move. I mean, if they do decide to switch up their philosophy a little bit and maybe find a guy that, like you said, could hold up against double teams instead of just, you know, get upfield. Puna Ford is a great free agent that I think made himself a lot of money last year with the Chargers as a run defender. But you know, I have a hard time seeing them sway from that philosophy. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, you got to find some guys that could quickly penetrate and disrupt that running back and not let him just get into the gap he wants to right off the bat.
Ted, going back to Trey Hendrickson, how much, like speaking from Washington's perspective, how much is too much knowing they're going to have to give up assets and then likely sign him to a long-term deal?
I think the fact that you have to sign Trey Hendrickson to a long-term deal means that the draft compensation for him is not going to be as significant as you think. Getting a player like Trey Hendrickson, he only has 1 year left on his deal. So, you know, once you trade for him, you have to have a deal in place. But I think, to me, I mean, probably a second round pick. It's not like he's a very young player. So I would think a second round pick and some other picks in that package to go get him would be seems like the right spot for me.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, it's interesting. The age, as you mentioned, and the contract, you know, definitely does, you know, influence the draft capital that since he's going to get back. It's fascinating the way that they've gone about it from a team building perspective, Ted. Like, they're going to basically try to outscore everybody because not a lot of resources are being poured into the defensive side of the football. I want to look to the offensive line here with Washington for a second, Ted. Brandon Coleman, as a rookie, I thought fared pretty well for himself, all things considered. Third-round pick that was a plug-and-play guy from day one at tackle. Had some injuries down the stretch, and then he went up against just one of the most decorated group of pass rushers that any tackle had to face this year in the NFL when you consider Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons. The list can go on and on. Should Washington be looking to let him fail, quote-unquote, at tackle, or do you think it's a situation where they should be, you know, open to an upgrade there?
I think you should be open to an upgrade. I think Coleman played great for his draft spot, and he held up pretty well. But I always think you should be looking for some star power at left tackle. Yeah. And, he hasn't shown that yet, but, I mean, he was a rookie, and he can ascend to that. But then, you know, there are players that have outperformed their draft position that hasn't ascended to that. I mean, a good example of that is the Bears drafting Braxton Jones at left tackle, and he played pretty well, but he just never really gotten better and gotten to that star level. So I think for Coleman, obviously, you know, there's not going to be a lot of left tackle options in the free agent class. Yeah. So it's not like you're going to find a clear upgrade there. So I think, you know, you let him play this year and you see if he could take his game to that next level. But if not, then, you know, I think with a young quarterback like Jaden Daniels, who's a star, you know, see if you can upgrade that position if he doesn't ascend to that next level this coming year.
Yeah, Ted, I'm looking at your Twitter right now. I'm a big draft guy, and I know you do some coverage of the draft. I've been really kind of like interested in to see how Jackson Dart is going to be looked at by NFL scouts. With the assumption of Cam Ward and Shador being the top two quarterbacks, do you anticipate that Jackson Dart is going to go in round number one?
You know, watching him, I would give him a second round grade, and I'm very interested in the traits. He's a young player. He has a lot of room to grow. Played in the Ole Miss offense that is not very translatable when it comes to pro offenses, so he has a lot to learn. I heard he struggled to take snaps from under center in the Shrine game or Senior Bowl or whatever bowl game, all-star game he played in postseason. So it's going to be a big learning curve for him coming into the pros, but when you just look at the skill set, he's a big quarterback, he's mobile, dangerous scrambling. He has arm talent. He could make those layered throws. So, I mean, to me, he's a very intriguing prospect. And I'm not as high as on Shedeur Sanders as most guys. I just think he's a very limited ceiling, and I just don't buy the hype. I think a lot of it is just based on the fact that, you know, his dad was Deion Sanders, and they got so much attention at Colorado. But to me, he has a weak arm. He just really doesn't have any elite traits. I think he could be a starter in his league, and there's a floor there, but I don't see the ceiling. So I think if you want to gamble on a quarterback with some more traits that, you know, might be able to to reach that level and you have a starter that, and you could let Dart sit a year or two, you know, I think, you know, you could justify maybe taking him late in the first round, but to me, he's a second round grade, but as we know, quarterback desperation gets guys drafted a lot earlier than the grade you give them.
Ted, keeping things on the draft here, if Washington can't acquire Trey Hendrickson via trade or throw big money at Josh Sweat, who I'll ask you about here in a moment, at 29, I really feel like there's going to be a run on these defensive ends in the middle of the first round. Like, I think Mike Green out of Marshall and Azaraku out of Boston College don't make it out of the top 20, and we know we've got the kids from Georgia. Do you see Washington being able to get a plug-and-play guy at edge at 29?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not a super strong edge class, but I mean, I think tackles are going to be – I think this tackle class is starting to look a little bit better than – people think, and I think, you know, a lot of those tackles will get pushed into the first round, and maybe one of those edges will drop down, but I think they'll be able to get a quality player at 29.
How do you feel about Travis Hunter? Do you think he's, I know he's an incredible skill set. Do you think, would you draft him rather in the top five if you were GM?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to me, I love his skill set at cornerback, and just those ball skills and ability to bait quarterbacks. I mean, you just don't see that kind of ability from defensive backs in the draft very often. And then, you know, just watching him as a receiver. I mean, I was a little bit surprised at how good he was at wide receiver. I mean, you know, we heard about the potential of wide receiver and his ability to play two ways, but just watching him closely on the offensive side of the ball, you know, he's very raw right now, but I mean, there's ability there to be an all pro at that position as well if he does focus on it, and you can make a lot more money at that position. So, you know, after watching him, I'm a little bit more open to him playing on that side of the ball because just the fact that you can make more money. But I just think, yeah, I mean, it's just rare ability, and he's the top player in the draft to me.
Ted, we appreciate you giving us some time as always, my friend. Enjoy the draft season and have a good weekend, my man.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
That is Ted Wynn, one of the absolute best over at The Athletic, talking all things X's and O's. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Denton's Daily News next on the Kevin Sheehan Show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.